tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Swat,
King of Crash,
the Colossus of Cloud, the Colossus of Cloud.
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Eric Ostrowski. We're on every Saturday morning from 7 to 8. You can call us if you have a question about the value of a collectible you might have. 312-332-3776 is the number to call. We're giving away to one caller. Or if you tweet a picture of an item to my attention, T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, and we use it on the show, you get in the drawing for a box of 2015 Top Supreme Baseball. All this box has in it is two autographs. I was just looking at some of the higher-priced autographs in this product. Some of these things I haven't seen come out yet, so but there's a Mike Trout auto booklet with a patch auto on it, sold for over $600.
Very nice.
Koufax sign in there, Chris Bryant. So there's
Hank Aaron in there.
Didn't
Hank Aaron sign in there, too?
Yeah, good stuff. Nice-looking cards, too. Yep. So I figure that's a good giveaway. Some baseball. I can't get enough 2017 baseball with Aaron Judge stuff so hot. It sells so fast. It's just been crazy.
They're just flying
you
off the shelves.
You get it, and it's gone.
They?
Yeah. It's really, and well, you can't get any more of it. Yep. Then I've never seen it like that. Bill, is that like the same way at your store where you're? The 2017 baseball products are just flying out, and then you can't find any more to replace them.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's all, you know, Aaron Judge driven, like you said. Hey, I'm at the show in Chantilly, and this guy had on his table something called Flawless.
Oh, yeah, Flawless is an expensive product. What sport is it, football or basketball?
You know what?
Probably football.
I think it's football.
Yeah.
$1,100 a box.
Which actually...
Well, This thing was screaming Vince Clemente all over it.
That's actually a pretty good price on it. At one time, I think those were selling, the online guys were selling them for $1,600 or $1,700. So that's actually, go ahead, Bill, give it a rip. That's a good one. What we do with those when they come out is we'll get like there's 10 cards in it and we'll do a randomizer with 10 people in it. So each guy pays like, I think they, when they first came out, they were like $1,300 or $1,400. And so each guy pays like $130 or $140 and gets right. One of the hits out of it. So that's a little easier to handle than, not too many guys want to spend over $1,000 for one for themselves. It's a fun one to break though.
Oh,
there's a lot of nice cards in there.
I participated in a few of those splits like that on the Flawless. Beautiful product.
Yeah, I think that's when, they're definitely reaching to the outer limits to try to, find, get things that, well, how much will people pay? There's some pretty expensive stuff out there. So, Bill Huggins, the July-August Huggins and Scott Auction, you guys, it's amazing the stuff you have up. We'll throw in some of the stuff on here now. Bidding begins next Friday, July 21st, and goes through August 3rd. Here's a box for Vince to open, Bill. 1986 yeah. Fleer basketball, unopened 36-pack box. Baseball Card Exchange wrapped, and Baseball Card Exchange had a letter with it that they said something to the effect that it was one of the nicer boxes they had seen. $10,000 minimum bid on that box,
man.
And who knows, the sky's the limit. That could do $30,000 or $40,000, couldn't it, Bill? I mean, with one of those boxes.
Oh, actually, this is, you know, when Baseball Card Exchange, when they wrap boxes, Steve Hart wraps them. There's three different categories that he'll put on the back, and one of them is if it's from a sealed case, which I don't know how many of those he's wrapped, very few, if any.
Yeah.
And the ones that he'll wrap the most often is what's called, he puts on there 36 packs. right?
Yeah.
And that means I can't guarantee that this
okay.
is the way it came. But the, this, and that's the ones that we've had in our last few auctions all said 36 packs.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 3, that's the lowest form of life. However, this one, it says wax box.
Okay, so and he thinks
the number, that's the number 2-1. Yeah, he knows that this is, while he didn't see the case open, it has just all the earmarks, and he, there's a letter that comes with it that shows you, he writes in there how many of each sticker, because you can see the sticker on the back, and there are 4 Jordans and 3 of this guy and whatever.
Ooh.
He puts on there that the way the flow was, you know, one after another going down in order,
that
this box does not look to be altered at all.
So he inspects the, he opens the box and inspects the packs and then wraps it, and that's how he does it. Okay, that's cool.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That, well, that'll be a fun one to watch. That's for sure to
see.
What Vince, maybe that might, you might not be opening that box.
This image of me just opening up that box and those packs are just stuck in my mind. I can't think of anything else right now.
Have I ever told the story on the air about the guy that in the early 90s that had the sealed case of 86 Fleer basketball, worked part-time at T-Crown, and people, if you have valuable items in your basement, don't leave them on the floor. Put them up somewhere. There was a rain in the 90s in the Chicago area that I think we got something like 15 inches of rain over a 2-day period. His basement got completely flooded, and it swamped his case and ruined the entire case.
Oh.
Here he was smart enough to put a case of that away. And even at that time, I think they were selling for like $300 a pack, even then.
Wow.
Can you imagine, Bill? I think he got out of the hobby after that because it just literally made him sick. Can you imagine that? I mean, a sealed case of that might break $1 million now.
Yeah, well, I have a couple of guys who I know that have them, and I'm trying to talk a couple of them into putting one in our auction because while we've seen boxes and other people have sold boxes, since the whole thing went nutso cuckoo, nobody's really sold a case in an auction.
No. Wow. That,
the first one will get the most money. I would just love to see, you know, I'll open it at $1.
Right. I predict it breaks $1 million or comes really close to it. I really think that would be the case. Now, at the time when he lost it, what did we figure at the time? There were like 80 or 90 grand, which even, I mean, come on, that's a lot of money. But he had probably spent $12 a box for him, you know, when he bought him in 86. I think this might have been 93, 92, something like that, where it happened. It was like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine that. But there's other stuff in the Huggins and Scott auction, the other things that are a little less expensive to bid on, but there's a lot of expensive stuff, too, don't get me wrong. But here's something I thought was interesting. A 1915 World Series Game 1 full ticket PSA 2 Babe Ruth's first World Series game, October 8th, 1915. It was a $5 World Series ticket. That was the cost for the seat at that time. Phillies 3, Red Sox 1. That was the only game the Phillies won in that World Series. Red Sox ended up winning 4-1. Vince, $5 in 1915 is equal to how much in June 2017? Eric, you're going to have to put a guess in on this one also.
I'm going to say $70.
$70. Eric, what do you think?
$71.
Oh, geez. What is this, the Price is Right or something?
Yeah. And then Bill Huggins, what's your guess? Now, you can go 72 and really box in Eric.
There you go. All right.
Okay, and Bill Huggins is the winner.
Oh, jeez.
It's $120.
Oh, my gosh.
It's worth in June.
Wow.
2017. So $5 in 1915, that was a pretty good, you know, chunk of change to pay for a ticket. I don't think you can get a World Series ticket for $120 now, but that was still pretty good. Then here's another one. Speaking of tickets, this is a 1917 Comiskey Park World Series ticket stub to Game 5, $400 minimum bid on that one. White Sox beat the Giants 4-2, and that was their last World Series win until the 2005 series. So that's a, for White Sox collectors, that's a cool item there. Okay, we have a caller, Tony, from St. John's, Indiana, is online. What do you have there, Tony?
Yeah. How you doing today, Tom?
Good. What's up?
Hey, yeah, I spoke with you probably a few months ago. I have this 1971 Fleer Harlem Globetrotter.
Oh, I remember
Cocoa
those.
Cocoa Puff cars?
Yeah.
Cocoa
right.
Puffs, yeah. It's still in the pack. I got like 43.
Cuckoo for 43 Cocoa
unopened
Puffs.
Pack. Yeah. Cocoa, yeah. 43 unopened packs with all the, you know, Curly Neal, Metal Arc Lemon, et cetera, et cetera. I think there was a set of 28 cards.
Yeah.
And I have like 43 unopened packs, and I was just seeing if there's any type of market for them.
There is, yeah. Huggins and Scott would auction that group of 43 if you want to auction them as a group. We had checked that out at the time, so it'd be interesting to see. I mean, it's not like you see Cocoa Puffs Harlem Globetrotters packs floating around
right.
and unopened packs are doing really well, especially from, you know, that time frame, mid-70s and back. It's unless, of course, it's 86 Fleer basketball. But Globetrotters, I don't know that there's much of a reason to really hang on to that any longer. Bill, wouldn't you think it'd be as good a time as any if you put it in the October, November Huggins and Scott auction?
Yeah, you know, I might do that.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. I mean, like my brother, said, unopened stuff is going crazy right now.
Yeah. What's that, Tony?
What would just, like, off the top of your head, what do you think it might go for?
Oh, boy. I looked some up at the time, and I think we thought it had a shot to break a grand if you had all 43. I don't remember. If you email me again, I can look things up and find it. But I had an estimate at the time, and if I remember right, I think it should have a very good shot of going over a grand.
Really? Yeah, I have a few brothers. I have to discuss that with them.
The brothers.
My dad used to work there. My brother from another mother.
Anyway, well, here's what you do, Tony. Are you stronger than your other brothers?
I'm better looking.
Okay.
I got the bigger brothers.
Okay. So. Well, so you don't want to do an arm wrestling contest to see who wins, decides whether to sell them. Maybe you can do, I don't know how you figure who would be the best looking. I don't know, Tony. You're going to have to figure it out. Are you the smartest of the brothers? If you can figure out a way to get them to agree to it, you can auction those.
I think, you know what, I will speak with them, and I think it's just time to get – there's no point hanging on to them. I mean, somebody might want them. I'm just looking at all the other sports memorabilia I have downstairs in my basement, but these are sitting there. Like I said, we spoke a few months ago, and –
yeah, it'd be pretty cool.
I think
cool.
It's just time to get rid of it. You know, I don't need it. Somebody might enjoy them more than I do. They're just sitting in a box.
And I would say to do them as a lot, too. If you're going to do them, go do it right.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, very good, Tony.
You guys are the guys. Yeah, so you want me to email you then?
Yeah, I can do – if you email me, then I'll look up and see if anything has sold recently. But if I remember right, I think we had – gone over it, and Josh from Huggins and Scott looked some stuff up, too, and I think we all kind of decided it looked like they would – probably go over a grand, but I'll check it again, give you an update.
Okay, what is your email again? I'm sorry.
tcrowntom@gmail.com.
Gmail.com. tcrowntom.
Yeah. I'm tcrowntom on Twitter, tcrowntom.com, my website, tcrowntom on eBay, I think is my thing. It's tcrowntom everywhere.
You got those T's going, you know?
Yeah. People, when a lot of my other email, it's easier to do the Gmail than the other email. When I try to tell people over the phone, they're like, tcrowntom.com at what? Or, you know, and it's like they never get it right. Yeah. So it's like, never mind. I think that's why I originally actually got the Gmail, to make it easier to tell people on the phone what it was. Okay, you know, listeners stop by Triple Crown in Naperville also in – bring in all kinds of cool stuff or tell me about stuff that they have. A couple of listeners stopped in yesterday, and the one guy, I think he said he had graduated college in 1962, and he was working as an intern for a company where I think he ended up doing well, you know, at work afterwards. But they had him go up to Wisconsin, and he went to I think he was at the Packers offices, and he was in Lambeau Field, I think, for the Packers offices where he had to drop something off and pick something else up, whatever. So he sees Lombardi's office, and there's a secretary, and he says, is Vince Lombardi in? And she goes, well, he's in an office. Can I tell him who's calling? And he says, he gives his name, and he says, yeah, I'll just wait till he's out. So Lombardi comes out. He says, who's this Ted guy that's out here waiting? Oh, that's me. He's like, well, and who are you? And so he started talking to him a little bit. And anyway, Billy ended up getting a 1968 Super Bowl program signed by Vince Lombardi. Wow. Don't you think that would be really good in an auction?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I think I've had him signed by Bart Starr, I guess, who was the MVP, but I don't know that we've had one signed by Lombardi.
I don't remember seeing one signed by him, so that would be a great auction item. He has some older football cards, like some of that 48 Leaf and those type football cards, too. So he might have a good auction lot. He's going to put them together. We'll go over stuff and send them in for October. It's already time for the first break. The number here is 312-332-3776. Give us a call if you have an item you think might be valuable, and we'll try to give you an estimate of what it might go for in a Huggins and Scott auction, or if it's even valuable enough to go in there. And then you get in a drawing. We're giving away a 2015 Top Supreme baseball box, so hang in there.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ercdelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and espnchicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8. You can give us a call if you have a question about the value of an item that you have. You think it might be valuable, or you're just not sure. You think it's neat, might have some value. Give us a call, 312-332-3776, and we'll try to give you an estimate of what it might sell for in a Huggins and Scott auction, or if it's even valuable enough to try putting in a Huggins and Scott auction. Now, it doesn't have to be vintage items. If you have valuable newer items, listen to some of these newer cards from the last 15 years or so that are in Huggins and Scott as separate auction items. Here, this came out of 2009 Upper Deck SP Legendary Cuts, a Lou Gehrig cut signature autograph card, number 5 of 5. That has a $900 minimum bid on it. A 2006 Bowman Sterling Clayton Kershaw rookie autograph card, PSA 10 grade.
Ooh,
on that.
Oh, nice.
$100 minimum bid on that one. A 2016 Topps Mint Mike Trout jumbo relic autograph, number 10 of 10. Colorful patch piece, which helps the value right of it. And this one's kind of cool because it's got the MLB hologram on the patch piece, so you'll know what game that patch piece came from, that jersey was worn in, that the patch came from. $400 minimum bid on that one. You know, I was doing a comparison Aaron Judge stuff in the 2017. It's an official rookie card that he has in these products now, and his prices are so high. One thing people do have to remember, it, and Aaron Judge, I mean, with the power that he has, yeah, who knows, he could hit 80 homers some year and his stuff would go off the charts, but he is getting a later start. He's already 25 years old. Mike Trout is 8 months older than Aaron Judge. Mike Trout has played in 858 games to 111 for Judge. 636 runs scored to 85, 972 hits to 114, 189 doubles to 15, 184 homers to 34. Wow. So Judge is getting in he's behind as far as lifetime career stats, where if he's going to look to break the career home run record, yeah, or whatever, I don't know. Maybe
he's going to have to hit like 50 or 60 a year for a while.
He'd have to average it. Because think about it. If he averages 50 for 12 years, that's 600 homers, and he's 37.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that it's going to be tough. But then again, he could hit 80 in a year. He could hit 150 over a 2 year, just with the power he's got. He's an incredible. Yeah,
his pace is amazing. He's getting a lot of hype, but another rookie this year, Andrew Benintendi, is having a fantastic year too in Boston. He's got like 12 homers, 50 RBIs. So.
And he's kind of getting ignored a little bit.
Yep, he is. In fact, one of my friends, Matt, hit a card this week out of a 2015 Bowman Draft Baseball. Benintendi rookie card, purple refractor auto to 250.
Ooh, so that's a bit. Those sell over like, 500,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, one went for like 650, graded 9.5. So
he's a really good player. Yep. I think his stuff is buyable right now because the Judge and then Bellinger has had a lot of where he's normally Benintendi would be like a shoe-in for rookie
that's
of the
right,
year, but
that's right.
He's a little under the radar, so might be a good guy to pick up right now.
For sure.
So that's the intrigue that goes into old baseball card collecting.
I mean, that's the fun of opening up a pack. You open up a pack like that Benintendi, and it's like, oh, my gosh. You know?
It is something when you get a big hit like that.
Absolutely.
It really is fun. It definitely gives you a rush of adrenaline.
For sure.
All right, we have Ronnie from Crown Point, Indiana on hold. What do you have there, Ronnie?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
So I hopefully you guys can kind of solve this argument I had with my friend. So I have a Frank Thomas rookie tops no name card.
Oh,
and so and just by pure luck and by pure luck, Frank Thomas actually goes to my brother's gym that he just opened up a couple months ago. So and Frank Thomas is really cool. He's already signed one of my regular tops rookie cards and my Beckett that I have of his. But my friend saw it. Told me, and he talked me out of letting him sign my no-name card because he said that may actually ruin the value. We tried to look online to see if anybody has a no-name card that's autographed, and we couldn't find any. So what do you guys think?
Well, let's get Bill Huggins' response on this first because Bill has a PSA 5, I think, Frank Thomas no-name card going in this upcoming auction. Bill, what do you think? Does it help or hurt if you have a Frank Thomas signed no name on front rookie card?
Boy, you know, that's a hard thing to answer, really. I mean, like our caller was just saying, maybe there isn't one that is signed, you know.
Yeah, I think it actually might be huge. You'd have to get
a very interesting item. Yeah,
you'd have to get it.
What you need to do is get it signed and then get the card encapsulated as authenticated, and then you've got a very highly marketable item.
Or if you just get it signed and you send it to Huggins and Scott, they'll get that done for you and then subtract that cost off your final thousands of dollars that you get for that card. That's a big card, Ronnie. Now, how did you originally pull that out of a pack, or how did you get that? How long have you had it?
I used to be a huge Frank Thomas. Well, actually, I was a huge Ron Kittle fan back when he was the first baseman. And then when he kind of got left because Frank Thomas came, I hated Frank Thomas. But after his rookie season, I became the huge Frank Thomas fan. I literally, whatever I can find Frank Thomas, I got.
Huh.
So I had a kid I went to school with, and I had a bunch of cards that he wanted. And I think we were kind of dumb at that age, and you know, he thought that it wasn't going to be worth much. I gave him a whole bunch of cards for it, and just by pure luck, I've had it. And since, I think, so that was a 91, so that was since 92.
90 tops, and,
Yeah, 91. Yeah. So, I kept it since, and I don't think I've even, I'm even afraid to even look at it. That's how bad it is.
Well, so are you looking to consider selling it, or are you just going to hang on to all your Frank Thomas stuff?
Well, I only had him sign. Well, I don't. That's the thing, is I only had him sign one regular tops, that, you know, just a regular rookie tops, and one Beckett. So, and it was his first Beckett. So,
you know what?
I don't know.
I bet Frank would remember if he had ever signed one. If you know him and he's at this club and show it to him and say, Frank, do you ever remember signing one of these with no name on the front? I bet he would remember.
I think you would.
And he might say, oh, I signed five or six of those. Or if he says, no, I haven't, I don't know. I personally would get it signed. I think it makes it all the better.
Worth the risk.
And then, like Bill Huggins said, you have to get that encapsulated, authenticated. And I would grade the card, too. I'd grade the card, grade the autograph, and authenticate the autograph and get it in one of the holders from Beckett, or PSA does that also. So, yeah.
Definitely.
And boy,
definitely.
That
would be do you think that Beckett?
Beckett does that now also, I believe. Don't they, Bill, where they authenticate him now that Steve Grad's working for Beckett as an authenticator? I think they authenticate autographs and then encapsulate them. You could check with them anyway.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. However, I would go with PSA on that.
PSA on that one. Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Oh, yeah. No, then definitely. You guys have me intrigued. Because I wasn't here. I don't know. My friend talked me out of it. And then and now that you guys think if it's worth the risk, then I'm going to just. And, you know, Frank Thomas is really great.
Yeah.
I kind of wish he wasn't great, because if he was kind of jerky about it, you wouldn't feel bad about bugging him. But he was actually so great. Like, he didn't care that people were bugging him the whole time. And he's actually a really cool guy.
He's a good guy. He's a good man.
Listen to this, Ronnie. I had a guy that used to come in the 90s. We called him the Thomas guy. And I think he still has an entire, a shed full of Frank Thomas stuff. So, Ronnie, if you're thinking of adding a room full of Thomas stuff to your collection, get in touch with me at Triple Crown in Naperville, and I'll find out if the Thomas guy still has his stuff, if he's willing to sell. You might be able to, if you have a truck, you might be able to add a truckload of Thomas stuff to your collection.
I don't know if my wife will let me. That's for sure.
Yeah. She's like, more stuff? I bet your wife would want you to sell that card if you get it signed, Ronnie.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. So just as long as you guys agree that it's worth the risk, then I'm going to
I think it is. It's a tough one, but I would ask him first if he remembers ever signing one of those. And
if he
doesn't think he's ever signed one, how good a condition? The card is probably pretty nice, too, right?
I think it's pretty good. Because I think it wasn't until, from what I remember, right, it wasn't until, maybe a year later that it became really popular about how rare it is and things like that. So, and I know I put it in, I remember because I asked my dad for $5 to buy the hard case for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a baseball card store a baseball card show somewhere in Southside of South Suburbs. I can't remember where, but in Justice, Illinois. That's where it was. Anyways, and I remember, and my dad was like, why are you going to spend $5 on a piece of plastic? So it's been like that since then.
Might be a good move there, Ronnie. It's probably in good shape, and that'd be a nice one. I think we're pretty well in agreement that it would be good to get it signed.
Oh, definitely. All right. I will do it.
Go for it, Ronnie.
Thank you guys so much.
Okay, have a good one.
If he gets it signed and then gets the card graded, it's not going to get a 10 grade because it's signed. It's been altered.
Well, it's not altered. They grade. It's just like a card that comes in a pack signed. They grade the card and they grade the autograph and they call it authentic. But there's Michael Jordan rookie cards that have been signed that aren't in great shape, and they do really good money. So, I think that's what I was thinking of was the Jordan rookie, and it's like that sure hasn't hurt those, so I think it might be very good.
Especially if Frank doesn't remember doing a lot of them or signing a lot of them. Yeah.
People used to consider that was defacing the card. Even 10 years ago, that was what a lot of people thought, but like you look at some of these Mickey Mantle cards that Bill Weiland got signed that are going to be in the Huggins and Scott auction coming up. That's actually, it'll be a good question for Bill next week on when he decided it was a good idea to get some of those signed and so forth. But he has mint 9 autographs on lower condition, really good Mantle cards, and the value will be much more than if they had been signed, don't you think, Bill?
Oh yeah, especially the 51 Bowman rookie that he has signed. That and in 53 Tops. I have a bunch of them on display at our table today at the show we're at in Chantilly this weekend. A lot of people have been looking at them all day yesterday.
I had a 53 Tops about 10 years ago signed at T Crown. What was it? A 53 and maybe it was a 59 was the other one, and I had them in that one case on the counter, and they both sold. I wish I had bought one of those at the time. I liked them. I forget what they sold for at the time, but I'm sure they're worth quite a bit more now. Okay, we've got Rich from West Dundee on the line. What do you have there, Rich?
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. I have Bob Baffert. He signed a bobblehead for me at Santa Anita Racetrack back in June.
Ooh, that's
and I have an autographed photo of Victor Espinosa, who was the winning jockey in the Triple Crown.
I think a Bob Baffert signed bobblehead has to be at least $100 or so, wouldn't you think,
Bill?
Oh yeah, I would think so.
That's pretty neat. Yeah, he's a big name in horse racing, without a doubt. There's some horse racing, a 1942 Kentucky Derby program with Triple Crown winner Whirlaway on the cover, and two tickets from that Kentucky Derby with a $200 minimum bid in the Huggins and Scott auction. Bidding begins Friday, July 21st. Go to HugginsandScott.com. Check out the items, and we'll see how things go. There's so many great items on there. It's going to be fun to watch it. Just think of the witch-ended hires that we'll be able to do after that one. We're going to have to wait. It's already time for the break. We'll do that coming out of the break, the next witch-ended hire.
I can't wait.
If you're keeping score on your own at home, it's coming up after the break. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're until 8. You can call us 312-332-3776 with a question. If you have a collectible you think might be worth something, give us a call. Tell us what it is, and we'll let you know if we think it has enough value to go in a Huggins and Scott auction. If it does, then we'll give you an estimate of what we think it might sell for. So the prize we're giving away is a 2015 Top Supreme baseball box to one caller. If you tweet a picture of an item, T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. Tweet it to my attention. We use it on the show. And you get in the drawing for the box. But right now, it's time for Witch Ended Hire. Each week, Vince Clementi tries to guess. Now, think how hard this is. Think how hard it is to guess a winner of a baseball game with only two. You've got three in this, and yes, you've got to try to put in order top to bottom. And Eric found out how hard it was when Vince was off that one week. Very, very cocky about it, but he found out how difficult it was to get this correct.
I tried to bluff my way to a victory, is what I did.
Yeah, you can't bluff in this game.
Well, it's a little more challenging when you know the presenter of the three questions is kind of trying to play with it a little bit.
Well, this is an interesting trio of items here. They're all over the board here. A 1987 U.S. $50 Eagle gold bullion coin, okay? Second item, 1931 world champion miniature baseball penny arcade machine in working order. So if you had this, Vince, you could play baseball on this game. And the third item, a 1950 Bowman football Otto Graham rookie card number 45 graded SGC 75. So it's a 1987 U.S. $50 Eagle gold bullion coin, 1931 world champion miniature baseball penny arcade machine in working order, and a 1950 Bowman football Otto Graham rookie SGC 7.5 is the grade.
All right. So if I choose what I would rather have, which is the penny arcade game, because I'd play that. So I would prefer to have that because I would actually play with it. So, but I'm not. I'm going to go
probably
with
till it was no longer in working
right,
order.
That's right. But I'm going to go with the 1987 U.S. $50 gold coin.
Gold.
Yep.
Okay. Surprise!
What does that mean? Oh, no.
That's not good. That's not good for you.
Lost again.
Actually, the one item you didn't mention is the highest price item. The
autogram.
The miniature baseball penny arcade machine in working order, $750. The $50 Eagle gold bullion coin, $1,100. The Bowman football autogram rookie, 7.5, $1,900 for that card. Listen, I did a little research on autogram. Went to Northwestern, played for the Cleveland Browns, and they went to the league championship games every year from 1946 to 55. His regular season winning percentage with the Browns was 114 wins, 20 losses, 4 ties at quarterback, 9-3 in the playoffs, and he still holds the record for career average yards gained per pass attempt, 8.98. Wow. Isn't that something? Yeah, he was a great quarterback. You don't, people never when they talk about the all-time great quarterbacks, he never gets mentioned because there's not much video of him. You don't hear much about him. So he's kind of overlooked, but it's not, I mean, it seems like he was one of the greatest without a doubt. I mean, when you look at the winning, too, at the time, he was a dominant quarterback. So pretty cool. And your winning streak is over at one, I guess.
Yeah, we'll start a new streak next week.
Yes. Well, Bill from Mount Prospect has been patiently waiting. Thanks for waiting, Bill. What do you have?
Guys, actually, I just have a question. What's your opinion on getting inscriptions on any item? Does it actually add value? Is it worth it?
I think so, depending on what the inscription is and what the item is. But when you look at cards that come out of packs, if it's the same card of a guy that has an inscription, like they had a thing, Leaf had a thing a couple years ago where I think it was in Leaf Trinity baseball, and they have it in Leaf Trinity football, but at the time it said, like I had a Schwarber card that said, can't wait to play at Wrigley Field, and that went more than just the signed Schwarber card did.
Because what I've got is I've got a 2005 yearbook from the Baseball Hall of Fame, and I've got Wade Boggs on it and Ryan Sandberg, and they were inducted that year, and I didn't pay for the inscription. I thought, well, it's obvious they're Hall of Famers. It's a Hall of Fame yearbook, and a buddy of mine have gone back and forth whether that was a good decision or not, but so I just thought I'd...
Oh, so you could have had the inscription on it and you didn't?
Correct. I got it at a show. I bought the yearbook from the Hall of Fame and brought it to a show and got, you know...
Well, typically they charge extra at the shows if they're going to do an inscription. What do you think, Bill? Do you think it's worth the extra charge to get an inscription on an item?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And like you were saying, unique inscriptions rather than... If they'll just put, you know, Hall of Fame or MVP or something like that, a very unique inscription can be significantly more valuable as when you go to sell it.
Yeah, like if Wade Boggs put eat a chicken a day and keep the doctor away or something. You know, I wonder if he still eats chicken all the time. Remember that? He was known for eating a chicken before every game. Or, I don't know, a chicken.
Part of the chicken.
An entire chicken.
A leg.
I guess.
A chicken leg.
But he did eat chicken, I think, before every game. Danny from Norridge. Save us, Danny. What do you have?
Hi, I've got a street banner that hung at the old Durham Athletic Park for the old Durham Bulls. It was the 100th year anniversary from 1903 to 2003. It's 6 foot by 3 foot. And actually, this is one of the ones that actually hung at the ballpark.
Hmm. What do you think of that one, Bill? Have you run a couple banners, haven't you?
We have, and gosh, to be honest with you, they have a very limited audience, these 6 foot by 3 foot things. It's like, what the heck am I going to do with this thing?
We've
had some of the big banners that have flown over stadiums that are, 6 feet by 9 feet and stuff like that. And they, like I say, they have a very limited audience. They are very sellable. It's just, I think a lot of people are like, what the heck am I going to do with this thing?
So probably not a Huggins and Scott item, but maybe, what, a hundred or two, maybe, Bill, you think, something like that?
I would think to the right guy it would be at least that. Finding the right guy that may be the challenge.
Yeah, that's true. Well, don't forget now the Huggins and Scott auction, August bidding begins this Friday, July 21st. You can go to HugginsandScott.com. right now and check out categories and check out items you might be interested in. We try to read off a bunch of different things so you know it's not just old cards and not just really expensive stuff. There's a good variety of all kinds of things. Like here's a set of 1951 Burke Ross complete 72 card set, $250 minimum bid. And I think on the reverse initialing that the original owner put on the back of the cards, you see that a lot where, you know, it's like they put their brand on it. That wasn't a good idea, but you see that a lot. This has a Cousy rookie in it, DiMaggio, Jake LaMotta, Jesse Owens, Musial, Yogi Berra. So a variety of, that's a multi-sport set. There's game-used equipment. There's a bunch of different Cubs game-used bats, Santo, Williams, Becker, Kessinger, Hundley from the 69 Cubs. The bats weren't necessarily used in 69, but they were used by those guys during games. All kinds of stuff. There, Giovanni Soto game used jersey is in the web gems section. Now the web gems, Bill, those came out later and those are only online and not in the catalog. Is that correct, Bill?
Yeah, and we're actually still writing web gems until I think this coming Tuesday. And one of the neat items that we just got back, one of our consigners gave us a 1975 Robin Yount rookie to send in for grading, and it came back a 10.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's only like three or four of them out there. Supposedly, Ricky said it's the last one sold for like $38,000.
Wow.
Man, and that's in the web gems?
Well, that's the only place we just got it. We actually is coming back tomorrow or Monday.
Wow.
And so.
Well, we'll make sure we follow along with that one. I'll have to tweet a picture of that one. And it's people, so people can see it. That's going to be, that's crazy. A 10.
Sometimes
there are times that I think that PSA won't even give a 10 on a vintage card. You know what I mean?
Nope.
Wow. That must have been nice. Whoo. Man, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, our guy was pretty happy.
Oh, I can imagine. Eric from Glendale Heights is on the line. What do you have there, Eric?
Hi, gentlemen. How you doing today?
Good.
Good. I got a card that I purchased on eBay back in 98, 99. It's a Peyton Manning Bowman's Best Atomic Refractor Certified Autograph. And the thing about this card is I've done so much research on this. It's unnumbered. And I can't find out how many of these things were made.
Well, and, one thing that you might want to do is look up in the population reports of Beckett and PSA. Those would be the two companies that probably would have graded those cards. And just see how many they've graded. That'll give you an idea. And actually, I would recommend probably getting that graded by, I'd probably use BGS Beckett on that one or PSA, either, you know, one or the other of those, especially if it's in nice shape. But check the population report. If you know, go to their website and it's easy to find, and just look up that year and you'll be able to tell, and that'll help you figure out how many were made if it's not numbered. But usually the atomic refractors, they didn't make a ton of them.
That's what I figured. Yeah, that's what I've been hearing.
And especially right, now, well, if you go to the population report and let's say there's none or one or two graded, then you're in really good shape there, Eric.
that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm hoping.
All right. Very good. Let us know what happens with that then. Okay, now, you know, speaking of some different things that are in the Huggins and Scott auction, this is one of our listeners sent this in. He has a lot of 27 different Heisman Trophy winner single sign baseballs.
That's a cool collection.
Yeah, that's a neat collection.
Very nice.
Tony Dorsett, Bo Jackson, Johnny Lattner, Paul Hornung, Archie Griffin, Eddie George. Couple of oldies, Hopalong Cassidy and John David Crow. I love some of those old football names.
What a great name, Hopalong Cassidy.
Yeah. So if you were thinking of trying to get a signed baseball of every single Heisman Trophy winner, you got 27 here in this lot. Bill, I don't remember ever seeing you guys run a lot of single signed baseballs from Heisman Trophy winners. You ever remember that?
No, I think we've had several footballs that are signed by 20 or 30 or more of those, but no, not baseballs. And I'll tell you, here's a unique baseball quickie. We have these 160-some single-signed baseballs where they got our consigner got the full names of all the players on it, you know.
Oh, that's going to be big.
Oh, I mean, some of these are amazing. Like Louis Aparicio and Minnie Minoso have like five names.
Yeah.
And they've gotten all five of their names across. It takes up the whole ball, you know, all the way around.
And when you think about it, how have you ever seen one of those? I mean, I've never seen one like, how did he talk those guys into doing that?
I don't know, but this had to be 20 or more years ago when he did this. And we just found out we had JSA in our offices authenticating these things, and every single one of them passed authentication. But we found a ball in there that the guys had just put into the regular category of signed by baseball. They thought it was a baseball player. They didn't really know who it was. Turns out the guy is the 12th man to walk on the moon.
Oh.
The final guy ever to walk on the moon.
Wow.
Hey, that's cool. There's a big collector group for astronauts, actually. That'll be interesting to see what that one does. Here's another thing that I thought was pretty cool. We're getting towards the end here, but I got time for this one to mention this. Listen to this. A 1911 T-36 auto driver's complete set of 25 cards. 1911 was the first Indianapolis 500 race. And I guess, I don't know if all of these guys, but at least some of these drivers were in that first Indy 500 race. Isn't that something?
That's nice.
Now, that set of 25 has a $200 minimum bid on it. That's another thing I've never seen before. I love looking through, just going to the Huggins and Scott website and just looking at the categories and reading some of the things. And it's like, oh, I've never seen that, or that's never coming to Triple Crown or whatever. There's so many things.
Yep.
It's really something else.
And they give you a lot of great details on the stories of how somebody came upon the collection and different information about it. So real interesting to read it, let alone see the pictures.
Right,
so,
with background on the guys in a lot of times. So, and Bill, so I guess you have a lot of work to do to get everything finished for the auction.
Yeah, we do. We're going to try and finalize it all this week, and bidding starts on next Friday. So
it's HugginsAndScott.com. Now, can people still get your catalog?
Oh, sure. All you need to do is send us an email with your address, and we'll be happy to send you one.
All right. Very good. It's time to do the drawing, Vince.
This week's winner is Bill from Mount Prospect. So, Bill, email me your address to vince@ercdelivery.com. By Thursday, I'll set up delivery to your home or office free of charge.
Okay, so don't forget to go to HugginsAndScott.com. Also, don't forget, now I'm giving away tickets to the Under Armour All-American Baseball game July 29th at Wrigley Field. The gates open at 5:05. It's a Saturday. Home Run Derby's at 5:45, and the game starts at 7:05. I think they have 8 first-round draft picks from this year's draft in it, including the top 2. So it'll be fun to go watch the game and watch the Home Run Derby. And it's
night
at Wrigley Field. It'll be, if you're in town on Saturday, do it. If you're in town for the National. All right, well, have a great week, everybody, and thanks for listening.